Yo, what's good? What's good? We back. We live. Triple P, Paul Pickett Podcast. Live on TikTok and pre-recording for the YouTube, Facebook fan page, Twitter, Instagram, TV, and our audio podcast as well. The audio podcast goes on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, Slacker, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and a bunch of other platforms. Before we get started, hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube. It's in that right-hand corner. If you're watching this live on TikTok, please hit that follow. Of course, Triple P, Paul Pickett Podcast is a sports podcast where I talk about NBA topics, NFL topics. Go ahead and get into it, man. I mean, the story of the week, probably the month, maybe the year, Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay. One thing I learned of all my years of watching sports debate shows and sports topic shows, if every show picks up the same topic, you best believe it's true or it's about to become true, you know. Aaron Rodgers, should he want out of Green Bay? I mean, he's been in the NFC Championship last 2 years. I mean, they've been right there, you know. So, I mean, they've been close to getting over the hump. But, I mean, when you draft his replacement and you haven't drafted a wide receiver in the first round whatsoever, you haven't really beefed up what's needed to get over the hump. Yeah, I mean, I guess he should want out. I mean, because some guys, you know, don't always outweigh money over winning. Some guys want to win more than they want the money, you know. Yeah, they want money too, but they want winning just a little bit more, you know, especially when you get later in your career. Aaron Rodgers got one Super Bowl ring. A second Super Bowl ring will definitely boost him up high onto the possibly Mount Rushmore. Some people already think he's the greatest, you know, passer they've ever seen, the greatest quarterback they've ever seen. I'm not going to lie. He's the only guy I think that has like over 4,000 yards passing with like only five or less interceptions in a year, and he's done it twice. Nobody else has ever done that. I mean, he's, when you talk about passing perfection, quarterback perfection, I guess is the closest thing you can get to it. But then, you know, you got to look at what teams are available too, you know, if he wants to get traded out. And we know Denver still needs a quarterback. I mean, some teams have drafted their franchise quarterback like last year, the year before, this year. I mean, if Baker, things don't work out for Baker in Cleveland, maybe that. Ben Roethlisberger, he's getting old. Steelers, they could get Aaron Rodgers and move on from Big Ben. Go for it. Who else? I mean, Carolina just traded for Sam Darnold. You know, so the Saints, definitely. Aaron Rodgers has some options. He's got some options, man. And who's to say 49ers don't get Trey Lance in, you know, camp and they start having regrets or doubts? Aaron Rodgers would definitely enjoy being a 49er. Trust me, he would enjoy being a 49er. I think Aaron Rodgers is gone. I don't, like, unless you're going to fire the GM, like he said. I mean, apparently Aaron Rodgers wants the GM to be fired. Unless you're going to fire the GM, you know, which you got to have a better reason to fire people in the work world. You can't, like, fire somebody when it's publicly known that an employee wants them fired, you know. Like, the GM is actually Aaron Rodgers' boss. Yeah, he's the guy that, you know, deals with the contracts. And then even the GM has a boss, you know. So, like, Aaron Rodgers is an employee wanting a boss fired publicly. Like, there's got to be legalities to that. Like, you know, they do have a player union in the NFL. I'm pretty sure they got unions for GMs and stuff like that, too, or the owners union. I'm pretty sure there's some kind of moral, you know, clauses in there, moral things that you can't just fire somebody when an employee publicly says he wants fired. It's going to be a tricky one. I don't know. But if they fired a GM, they're definitely trying to please Aaron Rodgers and keep him. But I don't think it's repairable. I think it's done. I think Aaron Rodgers is out. He goes elsewhere, and he possibly does what Tom Brady does. You know, who knows? Talk about a little bit of the draft. I didn't really watch the draft, but I checked out most of the selections from round one, and I didn't really see anything that really surprised me. I think they were saying it was possibility that Mac Jones could fall right into the Patriots' lap, which he did. I think the only thing that was a little surprising to me is the Bengals didn't take Penei Sewell, which basically says that they're catering to their quarterback. See, this doesn't bode well for Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, because Joe Burrow apparently came out and said that he wanted Ja'Marr Chase drafted. And Herbert said that he wanted Penei Sewell if he was there. Well, Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase, and a lot of people probably thought they should have went with Penei Sewell to protect the quarterback, since he did get hurt last year in his rookie season. But at the same time, you know, when you got a guy that you think's your franchise quarterback, you want to make him happy. You know, you want to give him weapons. So the fact that the Bengals picked who Joe Burrow's wanted automatically, after his first year, they're automatically taking who he wants. But Green Bay won't take nobody Aaron Rodgers wants. And I think the fact that they picked a cornerback, you know, for the first round probably put the icing on the cake to say he's out. You know, he's probably done. I mean, you didn't draft you didn't draft another offensive weapon. I mean, they got some weapons, but they need one more. I agree. They either need a tight end or another legit receiver. The fact that you didn't get a receiver or a tight end, you probably done lost Aaron Rodgers. And like I said, in the draft, there wasn't a lot of things that really shocked me, except that I thought Penei Sewell would have went higher. And the fact that the Bengals didn't take him and they took Ja'Marr Chase just shows they're trying to please their quarterback. And when you're trying to get a franchise quarterback, that's what it looks like. It's like an arms race nowadays in the NFL. Everybody's trying to find a franchise quarterback. That's cool. You can find your franchise quarterback, but that doesn't mean you're going to have a Super Bowl winning quarterback, because only one team can win every year. And, you know, normally, it ain't like the Bucks. When you win a Super Bowl, you bring back all your starters. Every year, like, there's a high turnover rate on players in the NFL, you know? So, a team, like, could be like the Falcons, go to the Super Bowl one day, and the next year, they plummet, you know? They fall to the flat on their faces, you know? But it was and I know people were talking about, like, who won the draft. Jets did really good. It's still hearsay if the Jets did good, because we got to see what Zach Wilson did. I know the fact that Jacksonville drafted the running back for Clemson, Trevor Lawrence's running back, you know, that seems smart. That seems smart. You bring in a guy he's already accustomed with. They know each other very well. They know how to play off each other. That bodes well for, like, Jacksonville's offense moving in the right direction instantly, you know. And Yeah, this is not really major happen. I mean, nothing that was really super game changing that I've seen in the NFL draft. But we'll see how it all pans out. You know, I still say the Patriots, the moves they made on the offseason were pretty brilliant. Pretty Bill Belichick. All right, let's get into some basketball, some NBA. Kevin Porter Jr., 50 points, 10 assists, career high. We already know Houston is they're tanking. They're trying to go for the number one pick, whoever the number one pick's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a franchise-changing player, you know, in the number one pick. Or probably this coming up draft. I don't see a LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards in this draft coming up. But Houston Rockets, they got a lot of young players. So there's potential for you to put up 50 points. Giannis hurt. Malcolm Brogdon hurt, hamstring. I mean, these injury things ain't good for the NBA. There's a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries. It's going to affect the outcome. This COVID, these COVID rules and regulations are just, like, so bogus to me. Because, like, if you look at society now, like, ain't nobody even thinking about COVID. Ain't nobody even talking about COVID right now. Like, because it's all a mind. It's all, like, a mind thing. Now that people got the vaccines out there, a lot of people, they ease their tensions and they kind of calm down their fears, you know. Me, from day one, it's like, it doesn't affect my life. I haven't been sick in 2 years. This idea that masks and washing hands and sanitizer and Lysol had anything to do with what was going on. No, it's just social distancing. I live alone. I got a dog. I don't got an old lady. I don't go hang out with a lot of people. I don't like going to a lot of places where there's a lot of people. I don't like hang out, you know, with a certain crowd anyways, you know. Like, I only hang out with pretty much cats like me, positive thinking cats like me, trying to get money every single day of their lives. You know, self-employed cats. Most of the people in my circle are self-employed. Legitimate self-employed, not dope dealers, you know. So, yeah, that's how I feel about these COVID restrictions aren't good for the NBA. These injuries aren't good for the NBA. And the only reason you got these injuries is because they got this little setup, you know, back-to-backs, you know, with the same team because of COVID and joint. But I ain't heard of no major outbreaks for COVID since the vaccine came out. I ain't heard of no major outbreaks in the NBA. It's all bogus, man. You know, but it doesn't bode well for the NBA. All these injuries, all these COVID restrictions with star players ain't playing. You know, it doesn't bode well. Let me get into, of course, rookie of the year NBA talks. I seen that they got Anthony Edwards at number one, Tyrese Halliburton at number two. I forgot I had three or four ones. They got LaMelo Ball at five. And I understand, like, also hit that subscribe button in that right-hand corner if you're watching this on YouTube. But I understand that LaMelo was hurt for some games. But this idea that anybody past Anthony Edwards has really made any move on LaMelo Ball, like they've done anything spectacular this year to move past LaMelo Ball, is bogus. Because soon as he got back, he's making like one of the passes of the year, you know, like he's a highlight reel waiting to happen. I mean, he doesn't cease to amaze me like what he's doing, because he is amazing me, because, you know, he's already better than his brother. He impacts the game better than his brother. He impacts winning better than his brother. He just impacts better. Like, he makes people around him better than already. Like, I don't know that Lonzo necessarily makes people around him better. But LaMelo makes, like, everybody on the team better. I know he sure as hell make Bismack Bombo and Miles Bridges look a hell of a lot better. And not to take nothing from Miles Bridges, because he's a highlight, human highlight role too. But LaMelo is great. I've never been as exciting about Charlotte Hornets basketball. I think you might see at the end of every podcast, I might have to just do a LaMelo Ball segment, you know. Really, I might have to just do a LaMelo Ball segment because, yeah, he's exciting, man. I mean, with Stephen A. Smith is giving the kid a lot of credit. I mean, you know this kid is going to be great for Charlotte. I mean, I'm going to go on lines and say it, that LaMelo Ball probably the second greatest draft pick we ever drafted behind one Kobe Bryant, who we traded off draft night. We traded off Kobe Bryant draft night, but Kobe Bryant was clearly the greatest draft pick ever in Charlotte Hornets history, and we traded him off. You know, we traded off our future. Like, Kobe Bryant would have did so much for Charlotte. He would have did so much. And if I'm not mistaken, Larry Johnson and whatchamacallit was already gone then. Alonzo Mourning. So he would have brought in a new era of Charlotte Hornets basketball. He would have instantly been a guy that we would have looked to change the face of the franchise. Yeah, I'm going on record and say LaMelo Ball at the third pick is going to be the second greatest draft pick we've ever had. Clearly, Gordon Hayward is the biggest free agent signing in Charlotte Hornets history behind Al Jefferson, who played for the Utah Jazz previous to that. And he came and put up 2 years, 2010 for the Bobcats. And it wasn't the Hornets, it was the Bobcats then. But he was probably the best Charlotte free agent signing before Gordon Hayward. But his knees went out. His knees went out, but he was a 2010 guy, 2 years straight, solid guy. But we haven't, that's the thing. Small markets can't get big free agents. I don't care how much money you offer them. Like, you don't get the superstars. You might get an all-star, but superstars don't go to small markets. They go to big markets, you know, because they get more money off of endorsements anyways. You know, so Anthony Edwards will probably get Rookie of the Year. It really depends on what LaMelo, if LaMelo just comes back and just, if he gets, I think if he gets Hornets out of that play-in spot and gets us easier to that sixth seed, he could possibly win it. But Anthony Edwards is up there at 18-19 a game now. It's going to be hard for Melo to gain that momentum back. Anthony Edwards will probably get Rookie of the Year, but he's clearly not the best player in this draft. He's clearly not the best player in this draft. LaMelo Ball is clearly the best player in this draft. He clearly changes winning and impacts winning right away. Anthony Edwards is still on the second worst team in the NBA. There's, you know, and there's people saying, like, I seen where somebody was saying, the T-Wolves will make the playoffs next year. No, they won't. No, they won't. Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, and D'Angelo Russell ain't going nowhere. They ain't doing nothing, man. I'm sorry. You know, and I think it's time to move on from Karl-Anthony Towns. He clearly can't be your number one. He clearly can't be your number one. He has to be your number two. He has to be a Anthony Davis-like. That, like, an Anthony Davis to a LeBron. Like, you put him on a team with, a Steph Curry, a Kevin Durant, a Damian Lillard, a James Harden, where he's number two to the number one guy. Yeah, then you might be talking about something, but that's the problem. He was clearly not the number one when they went to the playoffs last. Jimmy Buckets was, you know? So, yes, T-Wolves ain't making nothing, man. They'll be picking lottery again next year. Once again, hit that subscribe button in that right-hand corner. Don't forget, the audio version of my podcast goes to Spotify, Amazon, Deezer, Apple, TuneIn, Slacker, iHeartRadio. Plus, the video version goes on YouTube, Facebook, fan pages, Instagram TV, Twitter, and so on. Yeah, there's not no much really, no more big news to really talk about. Let me get in, actually, before I get out, LeBron James, crybaby LeBron, crying about the play-in, because now your team might be in the play-in. I mean, come on, LeBron. You know, let's be real. You might not even make the playoffs altogether if there was, even if there wasn't a play-in. I mean, you might fall down to the ninth seed if y'all don't get it together. And so the Lakers need to worry. Lakers Nation need to worry. Not looking good. I'm thinking the Clippers come out the West this year. Against either Brooklyn or the Sixers. And the Sixers got injury problems too. They don't get everybody back healthy. They ain't going either. So it could be that you can see the Clippers versus the Sixers this year. That is highly possible. Yeah, Clippers versus Sixers. Just because it ain't going well for Lakers. And the play-in, I don't know what to say. I mean, like, NBA ratings are going down anyways. You know, I just did that segment, a whole hour segment on it. Never did an hour segment on my podcast. Did a whole hour segment on NBA ratings. They're going down. I mean, you got to do something to get people back because, you know, you're force feeding these ideologies and these views down half of your fan base's throat and alienating them. You're calling half of your fan base, you know, racist and oppressors and alienating them. You're bringing politics into sports, you know, which I don't agree with whatsoever. Like, I don't want politics in my sports. You know, there's movies with politics, you know. And then there's politics. And then there's politics in the music already, you know. I don't need it to be in sports, too. I don't need every form of entertainment to have politics in it. Because then guess what? If every form of entertainment has politics, it's no longer entertaining. It's no longer entertainment. It's just politics. Let me sip my water so y'all can soak on that for a little bit. I will repeat it again. If every form of entertainment has politics in it, it's not entertainment. It's not entertaining. It's just politics. Some people like to watch basketball to get away from politics. They like to watch their football to get away from the politics in the news channel. You know, it's enough every day. News is throwing racism down your throat and race down your throat. You know, every day doesn't have to be about race and racism, because guess what? Everybody's not dealing with racism every single day in society. That is bogus. There's people that go, they whole life, it ain't dealt with one racist moment. You know, so get, like, it's bogus. And this idea that everybody in America is racist out to get you is bogus. It's false narrative. Maybe at one point, but no, it's not. Not in 2021 going into 2022, man. It's bogus. You know, so NBA's got to do everything they can. Maybe raise the level of competition because you're drowning. You're drowning. You're down 30 million viewers. You're down 30 million viewers because you're alienating half of your fans. You're forcing politics on them. So you might want to make it entertaining and interesting or something, LeBron. LeBron, I mean, you're alienating half your fan base, LeBron, and you know, and then you try to bring some level of competition for what fan base you still have left, and you want to cry about that. I mean, come on, man. You sound like a hypocrite right now. You know, either you want to make millions of dollars and make money and build the sport, or you don't want to build the sport because the sport is going backwards. NBA is going backwards. It's clearly going backwards. NBA was great, gaining ground on the NFL, looking like it was going to be bigger worldwide. And you alienated half your fan base and you're moving backwards. You know, for every step they took forward, they took two steps backwards. You know, because one thing you can't do is when you have a consumer base or a fan base, you can't alienate half or all of them at once and expect for everything to just go your way. No, ratings go down, income goes down, everything goes down across the board. Less money, less viewers, less ratings, less advertisers. And when you alienate half of your fan base and your consumer base, you alienate advertisers as well. You know, and you lose advertisers as well, because now your platform ain't as valuable, because now you lost 30 million viewers. Now you can't charge me the same amount for ads that you were charging when you had 35 million viewers as you do when you got 5 million viewers. NBA went from 35 million viewers to 5 million viewers. And it has nothing to do with COVID and none of that BS that people want to talk about. Strictly because of politics, it is strictly because you brought race into NBA and you've alienated half your fan base by basically saying that, you know, every white person in America is a racist oppressor. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's bogus. I don't normally cuss on a podcast. It's bullshit. It's horseshit. It's complete shit. You know, but yeah, so that's that. And yeah, I'll continue to talk about the NBA because I still like the NBA as a sport. I do like NBA has always been my favorite sport. Basketball has always been my favorite sport, basically. You know, it's always been my favorite sport. But as a professional league, you're alienating half your fan base. You alienated me. You know, you called me an oppressor. You calling me a racist, you know, and I'm not. So promote hip-hop music for a living. You know, I love hip-hop music, you know. So, come on. But, yeah, hit that subscribe button. This is Triple P. As you see the name in the background, Paul Pickett Podcast. Don't forget to check out my apparel, New Litter Apparel, newlitter.com. Let me stand up, let you see the shirt. For all you dog lovers out there, animal lovers, check out newlitter.com, New Litter Apparel. Don't forget to check out my advertising marketing company, promopalace.biz. You can also Google Paul Pickett Podcast and find dozens and dozens of platforms, audio and video platforms that you could subscribe to the podcast or follow the podcast or listen to the podcast as well. And don't forget to check them all out if you get a chance. Once again, my name is Paul Pickett. This is Triple P, Paul Pickett Podcast. I want to thank y'all for tuning in. This is episode 22. And once